Come on, I just feel like give God a little praise tonight. Amen. It's all right. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of the glory. After all, he gave you the strength to be here. He gave you the breath that you're breathing right now. He gave you the mind that you have to think with. He's worthy of all praise. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father, we ask that as we come together in your name and in your presence, that you will bless us, that you will entreat us with your holy word. And most of all, God, we pray that you will open our eyes, oh God, and open our hearts and open our minds, that we might receive your son, Jesus Christ. And most of all, God, open our eyes that we might see him. And then, God, we pray that you will anoint us afresh. Anoint us afresh to hear the word and anoint us afresh to preach it. God, we thank you. We praise you. We give glory to your name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I would like for you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. And it may be somewhat familiar text to some of us. And when you find chapter 15, I want you to begin looking at verse 21. And when you find it, respond by saying, amen. Amen. And it reads, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was not sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Amen. Tonight, I intend to teach you how to live a crummy life. It's all right. Go ahead and laugh. I know you say I'm doing a fine job at that already. I don't need you to teach me how to live a crummy life. Now, if you tell most people that, you know, I'm living a crummy life, they'll look at you like, okay, so am I. But they see you saying it with excitement and joy. And hopefully after the night, you'll go around saying, I'm living a crummy life. And folk gonna look at you kind of crazy because you're smiling while you're saying this. Because most folk that say that, they say what? Man, I got a crummy life. My life is just crummy. You know, just that's the mindset that you have. But when you think about crummy from now on, I pray that your mindset will be different. You ever noticed how God has a way of blessing folk? And as he blesses, he kind of blesses you above what you need, abundantly. And see, that's the other thing. A lot of times we say, go around saying, you know, God expects us to live life and life more abundantly. We like that. But you ever stop and think why he put so much into your life? Why he blessed you the way that he did? A lot of times God has blessed you the way that he did so that you could be a blessing to somebody else. You ever look back at the Bible and you see stories about Abraham and Lot? Abraham was blessed, but Lot was just living off the overflow of Abraham's life. Good God Almighty. You ever look at some of the others, Joseph. Joseph was blessed, but Potiphar and his household were living off of the overflow of the blessing that flowed in the life of Joseph. And not only Potiphar, but his brothers, his father and his mother, they lived off the overflow blessing that flowed in Joseph's life. They were catching the residue that was falling from Joseph. They were catching the residue that was falling from Abraham. In other words, they were living in the overflow. Could you imagine God is blessing you in such a way that folk around you are getting blessed? Folk around you are experiencing the presence and the glory of Almighty God because of you, because of the blessing that's flowing in your life. I want to tell you how to get there. Live a crummy life. You're probably still looking at me like, okay, what you talking about? Living a crummy life. Let's look at the text. First thing, in order to live a crummy life, you must be persistent. Look at verse 23. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the house, to the lost sheep of Israel. This woman showed up and she began to cry out to Jesus to help her. She was designed for her daughter to be healed. But Jesus didn't answer her one word. He basically ignored her. But he was paying attention, but he just didn't answer her. Now you hear the disciples saying, will you please send this woman on her way? And then Jesus says, I was only sent to the house of Israel. I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Something happened in there. Not only were they telling Jesus, send this woman away, but it's implied that you give her what she wants so she can leave us alone. Can you imagine that? Have you ever been at that point in your life where you've been praying to God and it seems like he ain't listening to you? You've been praying, but it seems like God is not answering. You've been fasting. You've been on your face, but God has not been answering you. And you start questioning what's going on. And for some of us, we just give up and say, that's it. I ain't praying no more about it. I'm just going to forget about it. But a lot of times God is just wanting to see how bad you really want it. You know, the scripture that says, ask, knock, and seek. In the Greek, it's implied, or it says that it's in the in the present tense. It said you have to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. The problem is we ask and walk away. We seek. When we don't see it right away, we turn around and go home. We knock, but if nobody answers on the first knock, we turn around and go back. But God says, I want you to keep on asking. Even when it feels like I haven't heard you, I want you to keep on asking. Even when you feel like it's all hopeless, I want you to keep on asking. Even when the bill is staring you in the face and you ain't got the money, I want you to keep on asking. When he done lost his natural mind, I want you to keep on asking. Why? Because I want to see how bad you want it. I want to see if you'll stay on your knees till you get it. I want to see if you truly desire the thing that you're asking for. Keep on seeking. When you didn't find it the first time, are you going to give up or are you going to keep on seeking? Keep looking for it. God, you might not have showed up today, but I'm still looking for you to move. God, I might not have gotten it like I wanted it and the way that I wanted it, but I'm going to keep on looking for you to move. I'm going to keep seeking you, God. No matter what it takes, I'm going to keep seeking you. I'm going to search high and I'm going to search low until I get the answer that I need from you. And then I'm going to keep on knocking. It may not be an answer at the door, but I'll keep knocking. I'm going to keep knocking until somebody comes to this door. And I know many of us know how that is. Somebody knocking on your door and you peeping out the window. Oh, Lord, I wish they'd just go away. If I don't answer, maybe they'll go away. And guess what? They still out there knocking. And you know what some folk knock on your door on Saturday morning. You know you peeping out the window. Amen. But what? You keep knocking. Now, we ain't gonna call no names. But when you keep knocking on the gates of heaven, you keep knocking on your knees, you keep knocking through prayer, you keep knocking through faith, you keep on knocking until God answers the door. He knows then that you want it. He knows then that you're willing to do whatever it takes to get the blessing in your life. You got to be persistent. God says, I got enough folk that say they're following me, but they give up when things get rough. They give up when things get hard. As a Christian, you ought not ever give up when things get rough. You ought not ever give up when things get hard. Why? Because you might be on the verge of your breakthrough, but you just gave up. At the moment you were asking, at the moment you were seeking, at the moment you were knocking, the door is about to be opened unto you, but you turned around and you walked away. If you would have knocked one more time, if you would have asked one more time, if you would have looked just a little bit longer, the blessing would have hit you right in the face. But you turned around because you were not persistent. And guess what that says to Almighty God? They don't want it that bad. But this woman said, I need my daughter to be healed. I need my daughter to be healed. And I know you mothers in the house, you understand what that's about. Sometimes when your children are sick or there's something wrong with them, you may have to keep going and be persistent until you get that thing fixed. And some of you, if you got older children, if they've gone astray, you know what it's like to fall on your face before God and say, God, I don't know what they're doing right now, but I'm asking you to move in their life. God, I don't know what they're doing right now, but I need you to protect them. God, I need you to guide them back to the place that they know they're supposed to be. God, I trained them up in the way in which they should go, but they seem to have turned and gone another way. But God, I'm going to stay on my knees until they turn around and come back. You're being persistent. And when you stay on your knees and you keep asking God and you keep knocking on heaven's gate and God began to say, you really want it. You want it really bad. Guess what? I'm going to give it to you. And that child comes back to their right mind. And you got to be like that father and the prodigal son. And you got to be right there with open arms, welcoming them back in. But you got to be persistent. If you're going to live a crummy life, you've got to be persistent. Secondly, look at verse 25. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. If you want to live a crummy life, you got to always worship God. When this woman came to Jesus, she had a misunderstanding. She acknowledged him as the Messiah. When she said, Son of David, she was acknowledging him as the Messiah. But the only thing she was looking for was her daughter to be healed. She only wanted to use Jesus as a miracle worker. I ain't really concerned about if you're the true Messiah or not. I just heard that you are able to heal folk, and I need somebody healed today. So I'm coming to you, and I'm asking you if you would heal my daughter. But she didn't get an answer from Jesus, and she didn't even get a look from Jesus, but she kept on. And she began to get in the place, and maybe it came to her and said, you know what? This is not any ordinary man that I'm talking to. This is not any ordinary man. Maybe I came in the wrong way. And she said, Lord, good God Almighty. At that moment, she went into worship and it said she knelt down before Jesus. And I could imagine Jesus standing there like, she's about to get this thing. And if you really look at this text, you can kind of see that Jesus is basically guiding her along the way. When I don't answer her, I want to see what she does. She's still knocking. She's still asking. She's still seeking. I'm going to see how she responds now. I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. She begins to respond with worship. She fell down and knelt before Jesus and called him Lord. I could see Jesus now getting a little puff in his chest like, she getting there. Lord, she about to get what she wants. Jesus, looking at God, saying, God, we going to bless her today. Because she's after it. She's persistent. She's on her knees. She's willing to bow down and worship Jesus Christ so that she can get what she needs. Worship has a way of bringing you into communion with Almighty God. I don't know about you, but it's important to have worship. If you learn to worship God, not only in the church, but in your home, you ought to set aside a place and a time at home to worship. When there's nobody but you and God, you can fall on your face before God. may have to wait till your husband go to work or your wife go to work or whatever. You may have to wait till you get home in the afternoon. And before you do anything else, you just go to the room and close the door and you get before God and you fall on your face and you say, God, I'm not here asking you for anything. I'm just here to be in your presence. I'm just here to say, thank you, God, for being so good. I'm just here to say, have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner like me. I'm just here to acknowledge you, God, for being the great I am. I've just come today, go God, just to worship you. And I guarantee as you began to worship God, as you began to get into the very presence of God, good God Almighty, the glory of God will be manifested in your life. Your children will begin to look at you and that and be like Moses when he came out from seeing God. He had that glow on his face. And the children of Israel, we don't even want to look at him. Folk will begin to see that glow all over you. Folk will begin to see the presence of God all in your life. Why? Because I've chosen to worship God. I'm being persistent in my faith. I'm being persistent in my asking him to work on my behalf. But I'm also going to fall down and worship. Don't just treat God like a genie. You rub him today, and then you put him back in the bottle tomorrow. If you rub him today, you worship him today. If you ask him for something today, you worship him today. If you want to be blessed today, you worship him today. Don't just treat him like a genie in a bottle. I call you when I need you. And when I'm through with you, you go back in the bottle. We were talking about this Friday night at men's Bible study, and I began to share with them. I said, you know what? We aren't weak enough. And I got a couple funny looks at first. You know, like, and I asked questions. Are you weak enough? And they thought about it for me. I gave them a little minute to think about it. And they say, yeah, yeah. And I say, well, when I say, are you weak enough? I want to know, are you weak enough to depend on God for everything? For your resources. For your life. For your family. Are you weak enough to depend on God for everything? Have you gotten to the point that you're so weak that everything in your life depends on God? If my family eats today, it depends on God. If I pay the mortgage, it depends on God. If I put gas in my car, it depends on God. I'm getting so weak to the point that I can't do nothing without him. And I said, well, what we have a tendency of doing is we're so strong that we say, God, you just stay right here. I got this one. And you rush out there and you start doing your thing. And after you get through messing it up, God, can you come and fix this for me? I don't know what happened. Can you come and fix it for me? And God said, I know what happened. You didn't trust on me. You were too strong in yourself. If you learn to be weak, good God Almighty, I can do some great things through you. If you learn to be weak, I can show you some great things. If you learn to be weak, I can make you stronger than you ever were. If you learn to just be weak. This woman was willing to put herself down in worship. I don't know what it's going to take. He ain't talking to me. I don't know what I've got to do. He don't seem like he's listening to me. Maybe if I bow down and I worship him, he'll start to respond to me. And this woman bowed down and she began to worship Jesus. So in order to live a crummy life, you not only have to be persistent, you've got to worship. Thirdly, you've got to be humble. Look at 26. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Ouch. Now, I know some folk have cleaned that up and say, well, Jesus wasn't really being mean to the woman. He was just using a Hebrew idiom of the day. And, you know, he wasn't really being mean. Jesus called this woman a dog. Now, he didn't call her a great big woofing dog. The Greek word for that dog is a little puppy dog, you know. One that sits up under the dinner table. Now, I don't know if any of you have a dog in the house and your dog lays up under the dinner table. No, I guess not. We can't get the dogs in the house yet. Okay, amen. But this woman said, Jesus told this woman, it's not right for me to take the bread for the children of Israel and give it to the dogs. Ouch. Now, here you are asking somebody to do something for you. And they say, I can't do nothing for you. I can't give you what belongs to the children of Israel. It ain't right to give it to the dog. Now, that would turn many of us away. At that moment, many of us say, I don't know who he think he's talking to. I ain't no dog. And you know how you sisters, when y'all get the roll in that neck, hand might hit a hip. Let me set you straight. I'm not a dog. But this woman, she heard what Jesus said to her. She heard what he said to her. Now, I can imagine a lot of thoughts probably ran through her mind. Just like for many of us, a lot of thoughts would have run through our mind. Do I take this? Or do I say something? Do I take this? Or do I set them straight? And I'm here to tell you, as a Christian, you ought to walk in humility. Even when it looked like folk got the upper hand on you, be humble. Even when it looked like you might be called a chump, be humble. Even when it looks like folk gonna talk about you because you let that person run all over you, be humble. You've walked long enough in that strong-willed mind of yours. You've given people all 2 cents that you had in that mind of yours. So now it's time to keep some for yourself and just be humble. You know how we don't give folk everything we got. And after we get through telling them everything that's on our mind, we start telling them everything that's on somebody else's mind. Amen? Yeah. You children know anything about that? You don't know anything about that? Amen. You walk humble all the time, don't you? No. But you got to be humble. Your boss looking at you kind of crazy when you humble yourself. Everybody else at work is going off. Everybody else at work is saying, I ain't doing it. I don't know. I don't know who he talking to. But you take a humble approach. Why should we take a humble approach? Sometimes that humble approach may be just the ticket. Just the ticket for that person to turn them to Christ. They've seen enough of us Christians walking high-minded. They've seen enough of us Christians laying down our religion. And you ought to lay your religion down and pick up relationship. They've seen us laying down our religion and say, look here, let me tell you some. Bloop, 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 bloop. And they walk away and guess what they say about you? They call themselves a Christian. That's why I don't go to church. That's why I don't like church folk now. I don't like church folk either. I like Christian. I don't like church folk. Because church folk will lay down their so-called religion. Church folk will not humble themselves. Church folk are the type of folk, once you give them a title, they big shot now. In the house of God, we all are servants. That word minister, it doesn't just apply to those who stand and preach. It applies to every one of us. And it basically means that you are servant. And guess what? If the household of God was filled with people that are willing to serve one another, willing to humble themselves before one another, and as the Bible says, esteem others more highly than yourself. What a glorious place the church would be. But until we get these high-minded folk off their high horse, we've got to show them how to walk in humility. We've got to be humble in the presence of Almighty God. The one reason alone that you should be humble is because God is watching. I don't care what your parents miss. I don't care what you did at school last week. I don't care what happened when your mama turned her head and you rolled your eyes and they came full circle right back around. God saw every bit of it. There's nothing that you can hide from Almighty God. So it's best to walk in humility. So not only if you want to live a crummy life, you've got to be persistent. You've got to worship. And you've got to be humble. Fourthly, you've got to trust God. 27. Yes, it is. Lord, she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She trusted Jesus. Now, I just told you she was humble. And you see it in the text. She humbled herself. She could have responded any kind of way she wanted. But what did she say? Yes, Lord, it is so. However, the dog gets the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Good God Almighty. You're right, my sister. Now we're getting to the crummy life. You feeling me now? You got to learn to live off of what falls from the master's table. Too many times we are looking for the cake on the master's table. But there are crumbs that are falling all around us. And what's happening is we're by-stepping the crumbs because that's not enough. I've got to have the whole cake. I don't want the crumbs that are falling from the biscuit. I want the whole biscuit. But guess what? There's more in that crumb that just fell in front of you than you could probably ever handle. As God begins to allow the crumbs to fall off of his table. Now, come on now. We're talking about God's table. What did he tell David? I'll spread out a table before you in the presence of your enemy. You won't have to worry about a thing. You can sit down and feast. You can be at peace in the presence of your enemy. That's a crumb. Same way Abraham lived his life and Lot just tagged along. And it came to a point where he said, we're going to have to separate because we got too much stuff. Lot was just living off the crumbs that was falling off of Abraham's table. By the time Joseph became the second in command in all of Egypt, guess what was happening? The crumb had fallen off of Joseph's table. And all of Egypt and all of Israel was experiencing a crummy life. And that's why I'm here to tell you tonight, I enjoy living a crummy life. My life is just as crummy as it can be. And I hope that your life is just as crummy as mine is. If your life is just as crummy as mine is, guess what? We both are blessed. This woman humbled herself to the point where she began to see the crumbs that were falling from the master's table. And she thought about that thing. You know what? You just called me a dog, but even the dog gets the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So guess what? I'll take that position. I'll get down. And I'll lay up under the master's table. And every crumb that falls from that table, I'll get it. Every crumb that comes off that table, I'll get it. And guess what? If you get enough crumbs, you can have a cake. But we go so busy, we get so busy going after the whole cake that we miss the crumbs. And the crumbs are the very thing that can bless your life. If you want to live a crummy life, you got to be persistent. If you want to live a crummy life, you got to learn how to worship. If you want to live a crummy life, you got to learn how to be humble. And if you want to learn to live a crummy life, you got to trust God. Because I'm here to tell you today, man can give you a whole lot of stuff. But the last time I checked, the Bible says, man shall give into your bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men shall give into your bosom. Why? Because you're a humble person. Why? Because you've been knocking on heaven's gate and you didn't stop until somebody answered the door. And because you walked in humility. And because you were persistent. And because you worshiped God. God said, guess what? Since you trust me so much, I'm going to bless you. Since you trust me so much, I'm going to allow some crumbs to fall your way. Since you trust me so much, let me knock a little extra off the table for you. Oh, you know how it is. Sometimes when the folk got the dogs that's in the house, since we all don't have that, they'll take a little crumb off the table and they'll slip it down to the dog and they'll feed him. And guess what that dog does? He'll eat that crumb. But after he gets through eating the crumb, he'll lick the fingers of the master. Good God Almighty. After God gets through giving crumbs to you, you ought to say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for blessing me. So why? Because thanking him is the same as that dog licking the master's hand. As the master has his hand down on the table, guess what that says? This dog is appreciative. This dog is thankful. This dog acknowledges that I've just given him all that he needs. This dog acknowledges I'm the one that's blessing him. This dog acknowledges that I'm the one that's supplying all of his needs. And guess what? We ought to be like dogs. Dogs don't go to work. Dogs don't pay the bills. Dogs have to sit and wait on the master. When that dog wants to eat, he has to wait on the master. When that dog wants a cold drink of water, he got to wait on the master. When that dog wants some air, if he's in the house, he's got to wait on the master. If that dog is outside for us, he's got to let the master give him shelter. Why should we be like dogs? Because we ought to wait on the master to supply us with all that we need. We ought to wait on the master to give us shelter, to give us food, to give us a drink when we're thirsty. We ought to wait on the master. And when he gives us crumbs from the table, we ought to lick his hand by saying thank you. Because why? I've seen crumbs of salvation fall from the master's table. The Bible said that he came for the house of Israel. But when they rejected what he had for them, guess what? Crumbs began to fall from the master's table. And guess what? We got some of them crumbs. I don't know about you, but I got my crumb. My crumb of salvation fell from the master's table, and I snatched it as quick as I could. There's crumbs of grace that are falling from the master's table. There's been plenty of times that I've gotten stuff that I sure enough didn't deserve. That crumb fell from the master's table, and I got it. There's crumbs of mercy that are falling from the master's table, because there was a whole lot of time that I should have gotten some things, but God said, I'm going to hold back my wrath. I took that crumb sure enough. Then there was crumbs of gratefulness that fell from the master's table. I got that one too. There are all kind of crumbs that are falling from the master's table. And if you're persistent, if you'll worship, if you'll humble yourself, and if you'll just trust God, you can live a crummy life. So I'm here to tell you tonight, I hope you're living a crummy life. And you ought to say it with me right now. I'm living a crummy life. Oh, no, come on. You can say it better than that. I'm living a crummy life. The next time somebody say, how you doing? Instead of you saying, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored in the Lord. You know, they're used to that one. Next time somebody say, how you doing? I'm living a crummy life. Guess what that'll do? That'll open the door for you to share with them. Yeah. What do you mean you're living a crummy life? You know why? Because I'm persistent. I'm worshiping God. I'm humbling myself before God. And I'm trusting God. And as I trust him, he meets my needs. As I ask him and continue to be persistent, he shows up for me. And as I humble myself before him, he allows crumbs to fall my way. And you can tell him about the crumbs that are falling from the master's table. And then don't forget to tell him, when he lets crumbs fall my way, I lick his hands by saying thank you. I let him know that I'm appreciative of everything he's done for me. I let him know that I'm thankful for all that he's allowed to come my way. And the next time you're so blessed that you can't use all that you got, let a little of crumbs fall somebody else's way. Let them live a crummy life. Don't keep it all to yourself, but let some fall their way. And as the crumbs fall from the table, don't worry about them. You know, we always trying to sweep the crumbs up and get rid of them. In the kingdom of God, don't sweep the crumbs up and get rid of them. Take the crumbs. I pray that you're living a crummy life. Amen. Amen. Tonight, maybe it's something that you've been desiring from God. Maybe it's something that you've been seeking God for. And maybe he hadn't quite answered you yet. I want us to come together tonight and agree in prayer. Agree in prayer for that thing that you've been desiring from God. I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. Whatever it may be. If you have something that you have been designed for God to do in your life, come and let us agree in prayer. Come and let us go together in worship of Almighty God. And as we worship and humble ourselves before him, we're going to persistently knock on heaven's door through our prayer. And then we're going to trust God to move on our behalf. If you got something that you've been desiring from God, why don't you come? We'll agree in prayer. He is holy, oh, so holy. He is holy, oh, so holy. What a privilege and an honor to worship at your feet. Holy, this presence
of your name. You are holy, oh, so holy. You are holy, oh, so holy. What a privilege and an honor to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own. You are faithful, you are faithful, oh, so faithful. You are faithful, oh, so faithful.